Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the theme, The Little Psalm with the Wide Angle Lens. Our text is Psalm 117, all two verses of the psalm. The text reads as follows, O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the 19th century, had it right when he said, This psalm, which is very little in its letter, is extremely large in its spirit. For it bursts beyond all bounds of race and nationality. It calls upon all mankind to praise the name of the Lord. The psalm may be little, but it has a wide-angle lens. It takes in the whole vista of biblical truth, and it does it in two verses. The theme of this littlest of all psalms is given to us in the first of its two verses, which simply reads, O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye peoples. Like so many other psalms, Psalm 117 is a hallelujah psalm, a psalm of praise to Jehovah, the God of Israel. It begins on the note of praise, it ends on the note of praise, just as do the five concluding psalms of the Psalter. Psalm 117 reminds us that the way of praise to God is the highway of blessing for man. But why has this particular psalm been chosen for our consideration this morning, along with some verses from the fourth chapter of John, where Jesus speaks to the woman at the well in Samaria, and along with the verses from the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, which were just read from the lectern? Well, the common point of reference between Psalm 117 and the text from John 4 and Acts 13 is that they all emphasize the biblical theme for this third week of the Epiphany season, as recorded in Luke chapter 13, verse 29. John chapter 4, verse 42 reminds us that Jesus is indeed the Christ who is the Savior, not just of Israel, but of the whole world. Acts 13, 46 reminds us that when the Jews rejected the word of God, the gospel proclaimed to them by Paul, Paul turned to the Gentile nations according to the command of God. And so in Luke 13, 29, we find Jesus telling the Jews of his day, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and they shall sit down, recline as to eat supper in the kingdom of God. Here we have Jesus' program for the New Testament era, which he describes as the dynamic inflowing of the church, the una sancta, the true and faithful people of God. From all points of the compass, they will enter God's kingdom, they will feast there, they will sit down there, they will stay there, and they will not depart from it. These are the elect of God, who will persevere, and who will be with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and with all of the prophets for all eternity. Luke 13:29 is Jesus' prophecy of the New Testament era concerning the elect, who not only hear the word of the gospel, but who also believe the word that they hear. They're going to be coming in, said Jesus, from all directions. This is Jesus' promise for the New Testament era, in which he describes the extent of his church in the world. They're going to be coming in from all over. They're going to sit down in God's kingdom. They're going to sup there. They're going to stay there. Listen to how vividly the Old Testament prophet Isaiah points to this very same worldwide homecoming of God's people when he says some 700 years before Jesus Christ, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Note, they're not going to flow downhill as by nature or as impelled by clever human devices. Oh no, they're going to flow uphill as by grace and impelled by a mighty divine power, the call of the gospel. What nature left to itself cannot do, God, by grace, does. But how will this happen? What will bring about such a miraculous upflow and inflow of people into God's kingdom? What program will accomplish this divine prophecy? Psalm 117 gives us the answer to the question, and it does so with an amazing economy of words. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples. The praise of God's holy name is what brings the people out of all nations to God. This is the great invitation. Praise his holy name. But what will motivate the people of these nations to praise the holy name of the God of Israel? What will make them flow uphill into Zion? As we look around us today, it seems that nothing is able to accomplish this, except perhaps the reliance on some clever human methodism, or perhaps the attractions of church entertainment evangelism, or perhaps the deception of a host of pseudo miracles, Roman Catholic and Protestant. Not so according to Psalm 117, which once and forever sets the record straight. Psalm 117 points us to an entirely different direction for the answer to church growth when it concludes with these words, "For, or because, his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth, or the faithfulness, of the Lord is forever." The mercy and the truth of God are the only means adequate to the task of filling up the holy banquet table in the eternal kingdom of God. Where will we find this mercy or grace, which is great and mighty toward all sinners everywhere? Where will we find the grace and the mercy which destroys the iniquity of sin and restores the integrity of the sinner? Where will we find the truth of the Lord God, which has been determined and settled from all eternity and is meant to be revealed throughout all time? Where will we find the word of truth, which is the one sure hope which the sinner can cling to as he sees himself adrift and going down in the worldwide sea of sin that surrounds him? We'll find the mercy and the truth of which Psalm 117 speaks only in one person, and only in one place. The person is Jesus Christ. He alone is man's mercy seat before the judgment throne of God. He alone is the true and the faithful, the true and the faithful Word sent from the Father into the world of sinners to call each and every one of us to the faith and secure shore of salvation. And the one place to find the mercy and truth is an accursed place. It's a cross on a hill called the place of the skull. In the cross of Christ, we glory. For this despised, in this despised cross is found all the mercy which any and every sinner will ever need and will ever find in this perishing world. In the cross of Christ, we glory, for there the miracle-working gospel truth of sin forgiven is proclaimed for all to see and for all to hear and for all time. Yes, the great Spurgeon was right. This psalm, which is so little in letters, is so large in spirit. It is short, but not small. It is precise, but not provincial. It is so large in spirit, not only because it takes the entire world into its vision, but also because it directs us to the spirit-taught doctrine of the gospel, which in turn leads us straight to the foot of the cross. Psalm 117 points us most certainly, as does all of Holy Scripture, directly to the Lamb of God, despised by the world of self-righteous morality and self-sufficient knowledge. Yet this is the same Lamb of God who's known and sought after by the poor of spirit and who recognized in the blood of Jesus Christ the cleansing solution for all of their sins. And so they come in from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They come in, for in Jesus and in Him alone they find the mercy of God revealed, the truth of God confirmed, the righteousness of God established, and the faithfulness of God fulfilled. And this for all time, and this for all tribes. Hear then, in little Psalm 117 is the Holy Spirit devised economy of words, just two verses, in which the invitation goes forth, praise Him, and the motivation to do it is revealed. For all people shall come to praise the Lord God Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah and amen.